Welcome to the eSuccubus podcast for the week of July 13th, 2016. This week, I am releasing this slightly late owing to noise issues and guests. Now that I'm on my own and able to record comfortably and safely, I wanted to do so as soon as possible. Although my new policy is to release only one thing on a given day, so this podcast will be going out on Thursday, despite my recording it on the Wednesday of the week. Because Wednesday is for stories every week or couple of weeks when I have something. I've just released, if I'm posting this podcast, What Sings the Steel to Sleep, Chapters 2 and 3. These are details about our protagonist's arrival at her job, and exactly what that job is, and I think it's going to be popular by the time I get to the end. You can kind of see where the story's going by the third chapter, so there you go. You can go check that out. I released Brain Drain 2, and I'm confident it's a much more detailed and kind of lengthy and varied piece. The original Brain Drain was very focused, and therefore I use its trigger frequently, but in this case I'm reinforcing it with some resistance content because somebody wanted to explore a Brain Drain-like effect while also being a little bit of a resistant trancer or overly analytical. Giving someone something to focus on, a variety of things to think about, actually helps with that. So the resistance themes, coupled with some basic explanations of trance and rapport, leading into a reinforcement of the brain drain trigger. I do use that trigger a fair bit, and that's why I recently made the original brain drain free for everybody. This one's just a reward file, and I've posted it there. There's a decent sample. So, I've been busy, but I've been working on getting a buffer built. With the podcasts, it's a little more difficult because I want to do them every week and I want to answer backlogged questions. With the live session chronicles, it's easy. I just save them up whenever my live sessions happen to fall. I suppose the only problem would be if I didn't have enough live sessions to do four of them, but I don't think people really expect me to always do four of those. In this case, the story is going to keep flowing consistently. I'm really on a roll with writing that. I'm doing some Trials in Tainted Space content because people are commissioning it. I'm also focusing on the COC summer themes, so you're going to see some of that. I recently released Hot and Hard, which is a summer, or at least heat, and then moving into air conditioning themed trigger and conditioning piece, and I'm working on some things for couples. So, I've been doing well. The Patreon's succeeding marvelously. People seem to really be jumping on board. Night Night 2 proved popular. That's excellent. And I do have a bunch of questions here that I'm going to go through. But before I do that, I'll at least mention today's topic. Today I'm going to talk about trance tests. These can be the silly games people play in stage shows, or little personalized shibboleths between a given listener and their hypnotist. They're especially valuable in couples or relationship situations, but they also happen just in day-to-day trances. It's things like the classic stuck hands theme. Or like feeling your skin heat up as blood flow improves. Things like finding it impossible to say a given number or name, even if you can remember it. Or even the simple thing of your arm being so heavy that any attempt to raise it fails, or so light that any attempt to lower it is unsuccessful. These trance tests serve different purposes, and I feel different people have varying attitudes toward them. I'm going to address some outlooks and the way I personally think about trance testing and about having little proofs to a person that they are, quote, really hypnotized. And I'll talk about what I've done in the past when somebody's asked me about that. I mean, really, there's an element of trust inherent in all of it. So I guess I'm talking about proving to people that they're under trance so that eventually you won't have to. Because they'll just trust you that when you snap your fingers and tell them to sleep, sleeping is in their best interests. And really, any talk about trance tests and trust ends up talking about your best interests anyway. And that's what I'm always concerned with. So, let's do the questions. Then we'll do a brief trance. I'll give you a preview of some upcoming story content, and I'll sneak peek the next couple of files I'm going to be releasing. Strap in. Get comfortable if you haven't already, because it's probably the case that you'll start to drift a little once I get to the relaxing explanation parts anyway. It's good to be back. Thank you everyone who's continued to support me, and for all the kind words I received while I was working on things over the last week. I'm updating the sneak peek document more often, by the way. So those of you who have access to it by dint of being backers at $5 or above, check it out and you'll find me live writing things in there a few times a day. There's a script in there right now for the basic induction that's going to go with the Venus Pitcher Trials in Tainted Space piece. And I'll be writing Vampire Fantasy 4 sometime this week. I think that series is going to be 5 files long. I'm just trying to give people a kind of satisfying ending to May's story, even if it's a little unexpected. Now, question time. So, our first question. I've rephrased some of these to be more general or allow me to give more complete answers, and I can do that because I'm running the podcast. Excluding the intro files, what 3 or more files would you consider essential for a listener? And the answer to this is fairly simple. There's my night-night files. Both 1 and 2 are probably pretty essential. I mean, you can get by with just the first one, but the second one I feel is well done. There's the brain drain files, but only if you plan to listen to content that references it. This includes some recent masturbation pieces, blank puppet masturbation, brain break, and the bimetization content. I also tend to use it in the live sessions a little bit. And then as for a third one, these podcasts. Basically, the way you get better at relaxing for someone and getting into their world, getting into their fantasy, is to get to know them. And when I'm making these podcasts, I'm just sort of closing my eyes and talking at the microphone. I don't really have a strong sensor, and unless I completely flub a word, I don't edit them. These are all done in one pass in either case, so I'm not really going to be able to have much to conceal the way I talk when I'm talking live, for example. So you get to know me a little better doing this, which is going to aid in trancing out and chilling. If you want an actual specific file, I would say that you should listen to the combination induction. I always liked the idea, and I'm very fond of the idea of multiple parts of an induction coming together and kind of slotting into one's understanding of their brain. And as I learned later with maintenance and with blank puppet masturbation, people really like kind of a mechanistic or computerized or software or any kind of brain theme where there's a valve, a lever, a button, a system of files and folders and so on. I've really got to do one with punch cards and see what people think about that. So, let's see. Does hypnosis relate to personality types in any way? For example, Jungian. Well, I don't know anything about those, so I actually have to pass on this question. I'm completely in the dark. No clue. I will say I've had people who are more relaxed about trancing, people who are more vigilant. There tends to be a right way of helping people relax, and different people experience different effects. Some experience hallucinatory effects, some prefer conditioning. I think those who come from kind of a background of rules and 24/7 BDSM play are a lot more experienced at day-to-day conditioning and at allowing other things to become incentives. But I don't really know about personality types, so I'm probably talking about the wrong stuff. Next question. What can you say about prospective pets who have wives or girlfriends? Well, this actually comes up a bit. People will often hire me to make custom files for third parties. A partner, someone who isn't them, basically. Either with the intention of slipping the files covertly into their lists, or having them listen to the file without knowing what's in it. And I categorically refuse to make these because, well, one, it makes me look skeevy if I show up in somebody's playlist without their permission. Two, it doesn't work, obviously. You need to build some kind of relationship or rapport, you need to be experienced at going under, unless someone's already a hypno-sub, in which case they could have contacted me. And three, purely from the perspective of doing, you know, commissions, you should really be talking to the person who will be the final consumer of your content, because otherwise you open yourself up to complaints that it isn't what they would have wanted, or so on, or even to, you know, people saying that they want a refund even though you gave them what they asked for. So you need to be communicating with the person who's going to be consuming the content. And I realize now I've just counted from 1 to 3, and so people out there may be a little drowsy at this point. Wake up. And next question. Given that latex is a metaphor for one's dark side, would using black dancer's tights be an aid to trance practice? Well, basically, someone asking about, you know, do you need an actual rubber suit for latex play and stuff. And while I don't think that latex is a metaphor for one's dark side, I think people who've listened to the Light Side and Dark Side Latex Succubus Files know that it's, back and forth. And also for a lot of people, there's depersonalization in latex. Not anything sinister, but the objectification of self, the separation and anonymity that allows you to kind of be yourself. There's also encasement for those who like bondage. I think there's a ton of dimensions to almost every fetish and why people like it. And a ton of dimensions to every clothing-specific preference and sexual desire thing as well. In the case of latex, I mostly know it as people who like to depersonalize themselves and focus on another's pleasure. But I know those who think of it as a dark side thing, and those who think of encasement or dipping, which naturally are difficult fantasies to carry out in real life, but very easy in hypnosis and in the latex mind deepener and so on. So I don't think it really is. Now, as to wearing other clothing, you gave the example of black dancers' tights. Well, I think anything that gives you kind of that sheer tight effect can have some evocation. But it really depends on what you're wearing it for. Now, if you're just using it as a dark side metaphor, well, colors. Let's talk about colors for a sec. In the Princess in the Tower file, I talk about gold and purple a lot, and these were colors that were kind of discussed with one of my listeners, and silver. And basically, I use purple as my own default color. I have for a long time. It's the theme of the site. It's how I conceptualize hypnotic control, and lots of people have colors. But I say purple. And I sometimes just use different colors. Darkness, the black kind of inky, corruptive influence, is definitely a thing in trance and in erotic literature and art and comics and so on when it comes to mind control and depersonalization. So there is something just to the color of it. Plus, if you're listening to content about latex encasement and similar while wearing the same black sheer outfit every time, well, that might very well give you enough of the effect without needing to go find a rubber outfit. It's down to how good your imagination is, how much you get into the file, and perhaps how much you like the outfit you're using as a substitute. Well, that ends the questions I got this week. Remember, everyone, you can send me questions at mail@esuccubus.com and just use podcast question as the subject line. You can also just include them, like, if you're sending patron emails or whatever. Now, I'm going to be talking a little bit about tests of trance, and then talking about some of my works in progress, my books, and so on. And hopefully, you'll be able to drift a little during. Now would be the time. Well, if you aren't available for trance, now would be the time to switch off the recording and come back later. If you are available for a relaxing, sinking session, get yourself comfortable and listen to my voice. It'll be relatively brief. We'll just give it 10 minutes, maybe a little less. But I'll include some information throughout that might help those who are interested in the why of specific trance tests and how they function, or rather, how people think they function, which in the case of trance is how they function. That's always an advantage we have. Just thinking about relaxing and entering a hypnotic state can bring people there. And pop culture, television, fiction, they've done a lot of our work for us, helping people to go under and relax and sleep when the right cues are applied. Because your brain gets caught in an understanding that it's going to be, going to feel, going to experience specific things. And that's for the best, really. Giving you the tools to feel whatever we wish to share. And it is a process of sharing. Your mind listens to my voice and falls under, and I just provide what's in my head, the thoughts I'm already having, the ideas I've already wished to transmit from myself into you. In this case, tests of trance. Think about times when you've seen a stage hypnotist or heard about it make people have their hands be stuck together. Those kind of tests are aimed at the entire audience, and they test suggestibility. And they test a person's baseline experience with trance, really, but also willingness to play along and desire for peer pressure to work its magic. Hands stuck together, the suggestion you're feeling warmer and warmer and might wish to take your clothing off. Sink and relax. But there's another element to trance tests, We all have parts and pieces of mind control fiction, erotica, enjoyment. Even there's the pop culture kind of stuff that people see in cartoons and scripted dramas. There's elements of trance, the swinging watch, the ticking metronome, the snapped finger, the exertion of greater will over what we've come to think of as weaker, but it's quite the opposite, really. It's just people who are better at cooperating throughout, or who are more invested, or who don't have a ton wrapped up in needing it to be proved to them how deep they are. It's really all about impressing one's mind. So, move from thinking about stage shows, the swinging watch, the snapping finger, the instruction to slip deep, to thinking about one-on-one experiences. If one is there in person, I could lay my hand on your arm, raise your wrist, let it drop, and at the exact moment it hit the surface you were laying on, sleep, instruct you to slip and sleep. That kind of thing is natural and normal and pretty effective. Another one is, if someone is an experienced subject or they're a little bit induced already, you might help them test their trance internally by pulling them toward you, letting them slump against you, and saying, sleep. And in that moment, if they feel that urge, that surprise, they may allow it to transmute into slipping deeper. Another is the classic floating wrist. Envision a balloon tied to your wrist, your hand rising, rising, and then the pop as it drops and slaps against your leg. All of these things use dropping metaphors, rising metaphors. They're really just simplified symbolic versions of the fractionation and other deepeners I highlight for people. Trance tests are themselves inductions and deepeners, and that's often what's going on in stage shows. But also, some people need it proved to them that they're really under a trance, and I got questions about that. There are some physiological indicia that appear in the literature and that people will comment on. Your body temperature might increase because you're kind of more relaxed. The same thing might happen during a massage. Maybe your eyes flick behind your eyelids in a pseudo-REM state, or roll back in your head when pleasure suggestions are being employed. Likewise, some people experience psychosomatic gripping or tensing of their legs and other muscles, and this is the very effect that is used in the resistance and tension inductions that I've been favoring lately. I also think that people who need it proved to them benefit from the kind of rapid-fire flow where they convince themselves that their mind is just accepting word after word into the cue and it's difficult for them to get a thought in edgewise. But since they want to hear what I'm going to say next and they wish the flow of words to arrive in their mind without interference, they then become caught up in the same kind of focus that subjects who need a little proof for themselves, who know they're going to trance, can accept and want already. Really, people who have once had it proven to them that they can slip, slide, sink deep, relax their body, and enter that meditative state of mind, seldom really need it proved again, although for fun and games, making someone's hands stuck together, making them unable to count a specific number. Now, that kind of thing, or trance amnesia, works differently for different people. Part of it is how invested they are in hypnosis and how much they've been thinking about it already, how much the pathways are already there. Part of it is how much they play with someone who does those things already. And another part is just the rationale you use. Does it speak to the particular person? Learn to calibrate in on what someone finds appealing. Some people find computer programming, file storage metaphors very appealing because they think of their brain as computer-like in its architecture. Others accept internal visualizations where the entire mind is laid out as a metaphorical space, a castle, a beach, a storeroom, something that can be organized, moved, and adjusted. And the more your metaphor fits that, the more your test of trance is likely to hold. Others are simply instructions. Evoking heat by describing the tingle of sweat on your flesh might make you wish to loosen your clothing, or move, or squirm, or begin to sweat. All these things are really just one thing. Help me to trust you. Anyone who says, am I really in a trance? How do I know? Is really saying, help me trust you enough that my mind's going to follow along. Help me play the game, help me enjoy the moment, help me sink. And sure, some people love the meditation metaphor, that all we're doing is a joint partnered version of what you might do alone if you stared at a flickering flame and let your thoughts slip away. But I can take you further because once you've achieved a blank mind, I have not. That kind of thing works for people. All a test of trance is something that works for that particular hypnotist and that particular subject. But sometimes it's fun to see people blanking out when someone points a laser pointer at their arm, thinking that it's some kind of soporific laser. That's the kitschiest of stage show stuff. Sometimes it's great to see people following a pocket watch, or, when they are handed it, find it so heavy their arm slumps onto their chest, unable to move away. Some things happen in suggestible states that seem silly from the outside. But in the moment when the test is being administered, in the moment when your eyes are following a watch and then someone grips your arm, raises it up, lets it drop, and you watch how limp and loose and ragdoll-like it is, the test of trance is a very serious thing. And I'm sure you've visualized along with. And as you listen, realize that all a test of trance is a reminder that you can trust me to provide a show entertaining enough for your mind to play along even unthinkingly, and for you to want to sink. And the arm drops, the balloon pops, the mind fades, and I present a show. Things I've been working on. Well, the story, What Sings the Steel to Sleep, is coming well. Next week I'll release the next installment. I've just finished up a Corruption of Champions file that I think came out very, very well, and I'm going to be posting that along with this. And lastly, I've been tinkering with a kind of new site idea. I'll talk about it in more detail when I have a demo, but suffice it to say, transformation and fantasy-based. I've mentioned it on here before. But now I've come up with some even better examples I'm going to be publishing to people, probably September. For now, I've got file releases planned out for the summer, and it looks like I'll have at least the first file of each Corruption of Champions lake area done by the end of August. I'm also going to be releasing a few couples things, a dominance series to go with the submission lesson series I've already released, and a number of summer-themed files. Hot and Hard is already out. Hot and Wet comes soon, and there's a few other ones I think people will like. I'm going to be doing podcasts twice a month, and live session chronicles twice a month, as well as new story installments twice a month. I'm also shooting for 11 to 12 main file releases each month, of lengths varying from 10 to 15 minutes to 40 to 45. These are coming fairly nicely, and I'm actually very ahead. I have a buffer, which is previously unheard of, and enables me to work on other projects as well. I'm going to be queuing those up so they'll drop a little more regularly than you're used to, so look forward to a lot of new releases. In any event, thank you for listening, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, it's made possible by the Patreon campaign at patreon.com/esuccubus. That's patreon.com/esuccubus. There'll be a link on every page anyway, but I just wanted to remind people, since I'm going to be putting out a lot more backer files soon too, so pledging at like the $15 level gets people over 60 things, plus your choice of reward file, yada yada. And I'm doing live sessions and custom work through there, so people can get those if they want them to. Thank you for listening, and there'll be another one of these in, well, about 2 weeks, depending on where I decide it should fall on the schedule. I'm trying to kind of relate the podcasts and the live session chronicles to some of the surrounding files, so I can reference said surrounding files during the podcast. Take care of yourself. And really, thank you for listening. You can always contact me at mail@esuccubus.com with any questions for the podcast, or just to say hi. Later.